I'm really enjoying the word of the Lord for the year, this image. And if we could have the image, it always does me good to see it. I hope it does you as much good. Prophesy the promise, promises of God. In Jesus, all the promises are yes and amen. They're all yours in Christ Jesus. And it's talking about taking that Spirit-given word or promise of God and speaking it to turn around things that actually have been coming at you for a while or even started to, whether it's health issues, emotional issues, but it's also about others. It's about prophesying the promise over our communities, our families, unsaved relatives, so that we're speaking something to turn things around, so that this community will know Jesus personally. And I know that if this is what God is saying, we really need to home in on it individually and corporately. And so I'm going to continue in that kind of mode of teaching, and we probably will run this kind of mode, this teaching, for a bit longer yet as the Spirit leads us. And I did find this preparing for this quite difficult, because I wasn't sure which way to go. Sometimes as a preacher you think God's speaking to me about that, but it could be personal. God's speaking about that, but it could be, you know, for that situation. And so it was really only yesterday afternoon I got a bit of clarity, and then this morning again when I was studying and praying. So let's start in Proverbs 18 and look at the Word of God together. And no word will return empty. Every word from God's mouth will accomplish what it's been sent to do. And I pray today, Lord, with faith, that this word will accomplish in our lives what you send it to do. In Jesus' name. Okay, well now this is funny to think you're going to be talking about your stomach, but it actually means your belly, your inner being. Okay, so we know the food thing, that if you have a good meal, you get full. So that's your stomach. But this is talking about a spiritual kind of, Jesus said actually about the life of the Spirit, out of your belly will flow rivers of water, out of your innermost being. So let's read this. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That word satisfied communicates you're full and you've really enjoyed it. Okay, so in my Bible, Jesus came for us to be full and really enjoy it. It's called abundant life. Jesus came that we may have life, and life in all its fullness. And I believe that we have a part to play in seeing that abundant life become a reality in our lives personally. And from the produce of his lips, it's interesting, isn't it, that this is almost speaking like, you know, if I'm an apple tree, when I speak, that's how things happen. I speak out. The life's in the tree, but as I speak, apples come. Just like an apple tree grows apples. And there is this produce. There's something being produced by the words of your mouth. Every time you say something, something is happening. And that's what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you'll eat whatever you're saying. So there's a personal eating of the words you speak. You will personally eat. Now, when the Lord gave me this scripture, he wasn't talking about really kind of bringing a great correction in our lives, although I think it does bring a correction in all of our lives, that it matters what we say. But he was saying to me, he wants his church totally satisfied, filled, and continuously increasing in blessing. Anybody happy about that? He wants you and I to have this full, like you sit down having had, like, you know, Christmas dinner. Wow, that was amazing. That was very West Country. That was amazing. You're just totally, you've got this whole, I'm so full of the blessings of God. And scripture's clear that it is connected with your mouth. And Jesus taught it, didn't he? When he said, you will have what you say. He starts with faith, have the faith that comes from God. So you've got faith through hearing the word of God on the inside. It doesn't work just by speaking. The power of God comes into your life. The work of the Spirit happens when you believe in your heart and you speak. You're not even saved fully until you believe and therefore speak. With your heart you believe unto righteousness, but with your mouth you confess unto salvation. That word salvation means is sozo in the Greek, which means total wellness, spirit, soul and body. Like having had Christmas dinner spiritually. That every part of your life is like you're so satisfied with being a Christian. You're so satisfied with being saved. You're so satisfied with all the blessings and the amazingness of what Jesus has done to give you Christ, to give you every good promise, to make you rich and blessed in every way. You're so satisfied. But conversely, dissatisfaction happens out of your mouth too. So you start to speak dissatisfaction. You know what's going to happen? You'll eat it. And it's a bit like growing poison fruit. If you've ever had poison fruit or very bitter fruit, when you've tasted it, you're like, I don't like this. And many Christians go around saying, I don't like this. I don't like what's happening to me. And they're eating poison fruit without realizing they produced it because of what they said. The law of confession, or the law of scripture to teach us how to bring about good fruit, is so important if you're going to live a satisfied, fulfilled, and fruitful Christian life. Amen. So be it. You prophesy all the time. You are prophesying your life and your future all the time. You're speaking things that are going to be happening. We may as well speak good things, guys. Because that's God's intention for every single person. He has planned good. He is good. But it's only, as Philemon puts it, the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you, in the tree, in Christ, only as you speak it out and acknowledge it, is the fruit of what's in you becoming a reality. And so your words are creating your reality. You are currently living in what you have already said. How are we doing? God's true. God's right. We're all wrong if we think different. Okay, this is what God's saying. God's God. He's Lord. And his word is true. So, we are all living in the reality. And I remember just recently, I think I shocked all these leaders. I was in a national leaders meeting. And they asked how I was. I said, great. Well, haven't you got problems? Well, I've got challenges. I don't call them problems. The more I call them problems, the more problems I'll have. Every time I speak, I'm giving an invitation to something. How are you? Blessed. I have learned to say over my life when people say, how am I? And I maybe have a twinge in my leg or something. Blessed. Why? Because I'm going to call in blessing. I'm going to see the fruit of blessing. Because I believe it. I believe I'm blessed. I believe there is no more blessed person on earth than me. Simply because I believe what Jesus says. And what he has done. In Ephesians 1 it says, he has blessed us. That's past tense. Which makes me already blessed. He already has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Which means if I say I'm not blessed, I'm not speaking the truth. I may be speaking what I feel or what I see, and sometimes that's the tide we've got to start turning. But that tide won't turn until we start to speak something different to the tide. And so when I'm not blessed, I say I'm blessed. You see, we can't expect to have positive when we speak negative. Duh. I'm not saying that's about you, I'm saying about me. I can't expect, the same law works for you and for me. I can't expect to have blessing if I curse. I can't expect provision if I talk about lack all the time. Amen. Praise God for a good word. You will be satisfied with more than enough by the fruit of your mouth. By the fruit, your words. In other words, your fulfillment is connected to the words you say. Not just speaking like a parrot, but the words you say in faith. Because you're believing what God says is true. Faith is never silent. I believe in my heart. Some people say this to me. It's inside. It's all inside. Well, it's not going to work for you unless you get it out. Because faith has to be in two places. In your heart and in your mouth. If you're going to turn that tide, it has to start in your heart, the word, the promise in your heart, and in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach, we speak, we proclaim. When all that is coming against you is real, we go, I might feel like saying something. That's why you have to zip it. Zip your mouth. Stop it. Because you don't want to add to the tide. Because you're throwing up a blimmin' so much tsunami behind that thing if you keep saying it. I mean, I hate it when I hear parents say, it's the terrible twos. What are you saying over children? Oh, you're going to be a terrible two. Another one which I've had to catch myself out on. Well, naturally speaking. Think about that one. Well, naturally speaking. Did Jesus speak naturally? He spoke because of what the Father was saying when he heard that Lazarus was sick. He didn't deny. Faith isn't denial. Please listen. He said, this sickness, I'm going to speak something different, is not to death, but that the glory of God will be revealed. He was speaking a different outcome. Because unless someone says a different outcome isn't coming. Jesus spoke and it happened. And there was a process coming into that happening. But it was all through the words of his mouth. Lazarus's miracle was out of the fruit of Jesus' mouth. You may be able to say something over somebody. I believe you will. And their miracle is because you stood and you said something different when the tide was coming against them. Amen. We're here to bring solutions, not increase problems. There's a recent survey, interestingly, of all the songs in the last 40 years in this generation. Basically, the last 40 years is a generation, biblically speaking. And the songs have been analyzed for their words, their lyrics. It is proven in the survey that there has been a massive decline, a consistent decline in the words that speak about being happy, that speak about good things, that speak about joy, that speak about positivity. And there is a massive increase of words in songs that our culture is listening to about pain, about pulling people down, rebellion against families, parents, hatred against people, people groups. And this massive decline is heard every day on the radio. Do you think the increase in all the things that are going on in our society, mental health being one of them, is partly to do with what they're singing? What the songs they're listening to, the things, the words that are getting in them, which is why Fly Creative is going to be so important, to have good words that make the heart glad. This tide of negativity is coming through pop rock, which is why if you're a parent or if you're a believer, you should not be listening. Because you're sowing things into the next generation and you're going to take them down. They're going to take them down, those words. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is anybody with me today? Have we got any believers in the house who are willing to be trained by God's ways? Amen. To see a culture change. We are the kingdom. We are kingdom people. We're of another culture. We're of the culture of God. This is where God is. And wherever God is, it's positive. This is a positive kingdom. It's not, oh no, it's only going to get worse. We're not saying what God is saying. We're speak the words of faith, believing and hoping. Hope and faith work together. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. We need a different picture of a different outcome. And I think that is depression, all kinds of things. If you say you have mental illness long enough, it'll get worse. It's not that you don't need help. And we can help people. We can help. We're here to help. We're not here just to tell you you shouldn't. We're here to say this is what to do to come out of it. Okay, so you understand. We're not here just to say don't. You should. We're here to help. But the more you say something, the more it gets established in your life. You know, sometimes the doctors or the diagnose certain things over our kids. You just keep saying it, keep saying it. And then you tell all your friends, well, they've got. I believe you can turn things around just by speaking it. I remember I was teaching this in the Bible college somewhere, and there was this girl there who had an eating disorder, and she'd had this disorder for many years. And she was a believer, and she had faith in her heart. Okay, so she believed that Jesus took her sicknesses 2,000 years ago, that it's already done. That's what she believed. But it wasn't working for her. Her faith wasn't working. And I said, you need to speak to that anorexia, or was it bulimia? I don't know which one, but whichever one it was, whatever they've called it, you tell it. Name it and say out. And we were just in this meeting. She was praying. I didn't minister to her. She said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this eating disorder and I tell you to leave me. Never had it since. Never had it since. Because you will have what you say. And the more you say the negative, the more you give power to that negative thing. And that's why speaking faith is such an important change of life. Because it goes against everything that you want. You don't feel like doing it. You feel sad. You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel sick. You feel you know that your bank account doesn't have anything in it. You can't cope. You haven't got any strength. You're old. You're tired. You know, and it's all downhill from here, so you may as well accept it. No, don't accept it. Well, you can have it if you like. I'm just encouraging you not to, because this works. Believing and speaking works. I got into a habit by looking in the mirror and saying, you're so old. I don't look in the mirror going, oh dear, that's so not nice. And I'd say it out loud. That's the worst thing about it. And the Lord said to me, change that. He renews my youth like the eagles. Amen. And, you know, I don't expect to go downhill. I have no expectation to crawl out of life. I'm running out. It is my confession. I'm sowing into my future. Every time you speak, you're sowing into your future. Living long, finishing strong. Running my race in this generation. You know, okay, pace might be like this, but they'll look at me saying, that's miraculous for 85. You will eat the fruit of your mouth. There's a wonderful story in the Bible about what we call the prodigal son. And I'm not going to read it all today because I haven't got time. But most of you would know the story, how the father had two sons. And obviously, when the first one was born, the joy. And then when the second was born, the joy. Two boys, okay? As speaking really of the Heavenly Father, God, and us. And a lot of people major on, and there's a time to major on the prodigal son. But it's interesting, at the beginning of Luke 15, when that kind of story starts to unfold and Jesus is teaching about the father and these two sons, because we're all sons of God through faith in Jesus. Yeah, you're a woman's son if you're a son. You know, if you're a woman, you're a son, because sons get the full inheritance. That's all that means. And there's neither male nor female in Christ, so we're equal, guys. And I don't get more than you. I might experience more than some of you, but I don't get it. And some of you might be experiencing more than me in other areas, because you're stronger in those areas than me. But it's all ours. Okay? Now the Father, interestingly, if you read the first few verses, the Father, he gave both sons their inheritance. So the son that wanted to go off into sin and rebellion and go away from the Father, first son was given his inheritance, but the older son also had his inheritance. Now, knowing the Father, it'd been a lot. And that's why Ephesians speaks about our rich inheritance in Christ. We are rich. Do you know, I'm not a poor girl, I'm a rich girl. A rich son girl, whatever. Okay, so I am rich in Christ Jesus. And the elder son also got... Do you know, I think if he had a mattress, it went under. Oh, he dug a hole, he put it in the ground. But he did nothing with it. And it says, you know, when the prodigal came back, the prodigal had to repent to come back. The father didn't go to the pig pen. The pig pen had to be left. And that's the lesson of sin in our lives. We have to leave it to come back to God. You understand that, don't you? Okay, you can't stay where you are, keep sinning, and say, I'm prophesying the promises. Right. Hello? Yeah. Prophesying the promises don't work in the pig pen, uh-huh. In rebellion and sin. Because we have to be walking with the Lord, and righteous by faith, but also our walk. So he had to come back, but the father ran out to meet him because he loves his boy. And he loves every one of us the same. He'd rush to greet you today if you're coming out of sin. I'm coming back to Jesus. That's who he is. But I always marvel at the elder son. So he's working in the field and the party started. Gonna get the party started. It's going on. There's probably, you know, Eastern music. I don't know what it is, but, you know, is it? They're doing whatever they do over there. I don't know what it was. I don't know what they're playing, but they're playing it. Fatted calf. Great big roast, like a hog roast. It's on the spit. It's turning. There it is. Juices are coming out. Everybody's going, well, the father's so happy, let's get happy. Everybody is dancing. And the eldest son comes in. And this is what can happen if you live a dissatisfied Christian life personally. I've been working all day for Jesus. Serving. I'm always serving. And matey, who had been away from the Lord, comes back and gets the calf. His inheritance is given back. Ring on the finger, everything, shoes. He's dressed, looking cool. The guy coming in from the field hears the music and asks the servant, what on earth's going on in that party? I didn't know about this party, a little bit fed up. Because I need to be in the know. But you know, partying is spontaneous. You do know that. Sometimes you just need to have a party because something great's happening. And the elder son gets the message back. It's your brother. Your father's overjoyed. He's come back. And the elder brother gets mad. Okay, he's hard-hearted. He doesn't call him his brother. He says, your son. We've all... so have you. Your son did that. Have you seen what they do? And they got away with it and they got their miracle? Sometimes it just doesn't work. Maths doesn't work in the kingdom. 2 plus 2 often is 25. With God, he knows what's going on in people's lives. He knows where the heart is, you see. He looks at the heart and he sees the repentant guy back, humble, saying, he confessed his sin. I was wrong. I sinned against you and against heaven. And he's right back in with the father. But the interesting thing is the father goes out to this really mad son. He goes out to both. Isn't he a perfect father? Like some of us might have stayed in going, well, let him get on with it. He's got attitude. But the father loves this son outside who's not able to party. Do you love the father, God? He loves us all. Okay, so he goes out to the son out there and he goes, what's up? And his blame starts coming. Start blaming God. I tell you, God ignores him. The Father ignores him. You, and you know what it says in Luke? You can read it later. It's a brilliant story. You never gave me a calf. You never gave me. I seem to recall under his mattress, or in a field somewhere, there was a massive inheritance. But this son was living a discontented Christian life. Nothing was ever enough. Nothing was ever good enough. He wasn't happy with his life, his lot in life. He wasn't happy that the father had been so generous to him. He was fed up that he was serving, and it was like, I need paying. Do you know we don't need paying to serve God? I don't know if you've keyed in on that. He paid everything already up front. He died on the cross for me. He's paid. I will serve him all the days of my life. Because of what he did 2,000 years ago for me. I don't need paying. I like receiving it. But I don't have to have it. You understand? And the father says this amazing thing. To all the ramblings of this hard-hearted guy. Son, you're always with me. And everything I have, all that I have is yours. What do you lack in Christ? What do you lack as a Christian? Nothing. tell somebody next to you, I needed to hear this this morning. Think, just say, everything the Father has is mine. Just say that over your life. Ding! Have you just had a good meal? You will eat the fruit of your mouth. What was coming out of the elder son's mouth? It's never enough. God, you've never done enough for me. Now, it doesn't mean to say we're not believing for things to happen in our future. But there is an unholy discontent that comes out of people's mouths when they're really not thinking about it or under pressure. And what happens is they moan and they complain that they've never received what they want from God. When we have received everything. Amen. Mentality shift, faith shift, speaking shift. We've got to change how we see what Jesus has already done for us. I like to say this in Psalm. I say this over my life a lot. Psalm 16, verse 6. Listen to this one. Let's say it together. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Remember, you'll have not what you internalize, you'll have what you say. Some people find this really difficult because naturally they're quite quiet people and that they kind of just like to live differently. All I'm saying is that won't work with faith. You have to kind of change. God doesn't kind of change everything to suit your character. We come under the word, not he come under us. And so we have to start to, even if it's on your own and you start to get bold in your own time with the Lord and you start speaking these things out, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a delightful inheritance. I already have everything in Christ. And I love to say that because I know I'm producing a satisfied life. You won't find me miserable back at home. I'm not fake. I'm not fake fruit. I'm not doing this for you. I expect to live a satisfied life as a Christian. But I have to do it God's way and I speak it. And so even when I'm in the greatest challenge, I'm still saying, Lord, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Now, what does that mean, boundary lines? There are boundary lines where you've been called to live. Okay? So like your home, you don't pop to the neighbors and say, I'll take that. You live within your boundary. Okay, so spiritually, God has preset your boundaries. He's preordained where you live and who you're with. Where you live and who you're with. And it's pleasant. So many criticize themselves, their partners, their husband or wife, their lives, their job, their church. This is such a biggie, guys. You will not be blessed criticizing the church. Because you will eat the fruit of your own criticism. I really believe one of the problems of Christianity today is people can leave churches so easily because they think it's better over there. But the very same dissatisfied person who didn't like it here won't like it there eventually. Because it's who you are. It's not... The boundary lines have fallen for me. Like, it's not self-choice. It's God's appointed place. We don't choose where God puts us. God sets us in the body. He's the Lord of his church. And we are in a delightful inheritance in Christ. We are more blessed in this place. You're more blessed where you are if your attitude to where you are is blessed. Amen. You will bless your own life by speaking blessing. Sarah had to change the way she spoke. Do you remember when God spoke to Abraham and said, right, you need to change your name? And he changed Sarah's name. So there's this married couple, and Abraham had received the promise, and Sarah had received a promise too. All their lives, they'd known each other as a different name, similar but different. And now God had spoken a promise, and he told them both to rename each other. And Sarah had to start calling Abraham. I think this must have been the most weird experience. Father of a multitude. But even weirder for Abraham to look at his wife, who had never produced, and say, mother, call her what she wasn't. It's so easy to call things in your marriage or your relationships as you feel them or as you see them, but not as God sees it. And Abraham and Sarah had to partner with God before they ever saw the fruit of Isaac. They spoke it before it happened. They called things that are not as though they were. And I'm not saying carry on in sin or being a bully or all kinds of wrong things. I'm not talking about that. We all need to be corrected. You know that. That's loving. A loving father will correct us when we're wrong. It's not just about faith speaking. It's also about a lifestyle of living out a walk with Jesus. But we must be calling, we need to be calling things that are not as though they were. And relationships turn round. You will change in it. You will become a satisfied person rather than a moaner. Someone who isn't enjoying life. Your workplace. If all you do is complain, you will eat more of the same. Is anybody hearing God today? If all you do is keep saying the same, you will eat more of the same. But if you say what God says, the promise, you will experience blessing. Now, on Friday, we had some time out. And Pastor Andrea said, what would you do if you won the lottery? Has anybody ever said that? Has anybody ever? Just me? No, you're too spiritual. You're too spiritual for me. What would you do if you won the Euro Millions? Apparently this week, I asked Anne, last week, 71 million? I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot of dosh. What would you do? So we're having this little chat over coffee, the three of us, and I'd definitely pay the church mortgage without question. Crack it off. Bye. I would definitely, I mean, my heart is for missions and for other nations. I'd definitely, I'd pay my own mortgage, and I might even move. I don't know. But I'd be a blessing, you know. I would say, well, Lord, I know you could trust me to be holy. Okay, but, you know, Pastor Angie, she said something really funny. She said, do you think if we say it enough, it'll happen? If we keep saying it, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery, driving down the road, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery. I have a word for you if you think like that. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the world might make you rich, but it comes with sorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
You're saying, well, I'd need to be convinced of that, but it's true. It's true. Money has destroyed more lives, taken people out of their call, been the focus of too many hearts, and people have ended up serving another God and not God. And all they want to do is get better off. It's a danger of dissatisfaction with what I already have. Hello? What a word from God that was. Does anybody recognize that as hearing God? This morning the shepherd is leading. Because if all you ever do is want more, it means you're not satisfied. Paul said it so powerfully. I have learned to be content in all things. I've learned to have lots and I've learned to have little. I can do all things through Christ. So in other words, my goal is not money. It's God and his kingdom. And you will know that you show what your goal is by what you live for. Amen. And if all you ever do is pray for provision, that means money's on your mind all the time. And it's like, we need to know that God will meet all our needs, but it's in a different way. You know, we laughed about this lottery thing, and I just thought about that yesterday, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, I don't need the world to bless me. I've lifted my hand to the possessor of heaven and earth. Like Abraham. God is my source. Okay, so I don't need the world to provide for me. God is my provider. And secondly, listen to this one. I'm a tither. Because there's a promise connected with tithers. People who give 10% of all their income. You know what? I speak. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing than I can contain. He will rebuke the devourer for my sake. And I am qualified to speak that promise. And I will eat the fruit of my lips. Which is why we speak over the offering. Hello? Because we will eat the fruit. We believe it, but we also say it. And I also know that I will have more than enough for every good work. Not more than enough to keep stashing, but for every good work. So that kingdom finances is operating out of this heart that is devoted to God, not money. I don't know, I had not planned to say any of it. But the Spirit is speaking to the church. And he wants his church his way. Because he knows if we come his way and live for his kingdom, we will see the fruit of a fulfilled and satisfied life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to go on a few more minutes, but Hebrews 10:23 says this. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. I love that scripture, so much in it. It starts with this. Just don't let anyone take the word out of your mouth. Don't let any report, any situation of negativity, don't let, because the enemy wants to sow doubt and fear and remove the promise from coming out of your mouth. Hold fast means hang on tight. Okay, just like you know, when you're a little child and your father or your mother just picks you up and you're holding on to their sleeve, they say, hang on tight now. God's saying, hang on tight to your confession, the confession of your hope. Now, Christian hope is coming from faith. Having believed what God says, we have a picture of our future that is full of hope. That's why it's really important to live with a hope view. I was ministering to somebody not long ago, and God gave me a word for them. They were in a tough time. And I said, well, you're looking like every wall around you seems to be dark and closed. But God has a window for you to look out of. And that window is called a picture that comes from a promise of hope into your future. And God has a hope-filled picture for you. You just have to find your promise that opens that window, the curtain, so you can look out and see a hope-filled future. Amen. But hold fast, because the enemy wants to take out that confession and stop that tide turning, because the tide is turning. The tide is turning. As you believe and speak, the tide will turn around. But then it says, he who promised is faithful. Because we're not just dealing with the promises, we're dealing with the promiser. I love this. Connect the promise always with him. Your faith can waver if you've just got a promise. But if you keep coming to Jesus and say, you're faithful, you're the one who said this, it's not my promise, it's what you said, Lord. And you're faithful. Connect the promise with him. See, many times I think faith confession can sound very non-relational. No life of the Spirit. It can become harsh. I've heard people just say words that actually are true promises over people's lives, but they say it harshly. But we must connect with, he's faithful. This is the character of the God who gave you that promise. And as you do that, you will keep strengthening your faith, speaking faith, holding fast your good confession, looking out that hope window saying, it's coming. I've issued an invitation to this through my words. I'm inviting healing. I'm inviting provision. I'm inviting a good future. I am speaking out what I believe God has given me. And he promised it. Father, you said it. You're faithful and you will do it. Praise the Lord. Be consistent with your words. I can imagine, imagine this packet of blessing coming your way. This is your answer, right? The promise here. Say I'm holding your answer. And the angel's coming in, and somebody starts, you speak negatively. And then they run back in with the promise. Oh, they've stopped saying it. They're saying the wrong thing again. And your angels are busy going backwards and forwards rather than delivering the promise. That was good. I'm sorry, that was good. That was original. I have never done that before. Okay. Because if you say the other thing, the devil starts to bring nasties in. But you know, we can just speak the blessing, speak the promise, and the angels are working. God has sent it, and it's on its way. We've issued an invitation, and we're definitely not going to invite trouble to the party. Amen. You will have what you say. And I know I put my angels backwards and forwards sometimes. But I'm relearning. God is reminding me. He's training me as well as you. Because he wants a church that know how to turn tides. Personally, in families, with your kids, but also with this generation. In your workplace, and with people who need the blessing of God, the gospel of Jesus. We can turn this tide by bringing good news where there's bad news. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we stand? Thank you, Lord. Let's just meditate on this simple word from God as if God was speaking it to you personally. Son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. And if you've been living discontent with your lot, your boundary lines, with the people around you, the money you have, the situation you're in, just say, Lord, I'm so blessed. Thank you for every blessing that is mine in Christ. And I'm going to turn the tide of discontent and be the most contented Christian, happy and full of joy, because I'm going to say, I am blessed. Before I see it, I'm going to say it. Before I see provision, I'm going to say it. Before I see the blessing, I'm going to say it. And before I see a turnaround, I'm going to keep saying it. Just thank him that he has taught you his ways this morning.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.